There's that fanfare. It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olean. And Matt, this time you went to a movie. We both saw a movie that features our part of the world.
It sure does. Let Him Go, based on a novel by Larry Watson, born in Rugby, I believe, Doug. And you interviewed him recently. That must have been kind of interesting to talk to him.
Yeah, he's a UND grad, and he has been writing novels for a long time. He's a very interesting guy, and he actually got to view some of the shooting of Let Him Go when they were putting it together up in Canada.
Yeah, and we got an advanced screening for this, so we really want to thank the production company for getting that to us as well. And yeah, so it's shot in Calgary, but the film takes place mostly in Montana and western North Dakota. It's kind of a western, I would call it. It takes place in the 1960s. Kevin Costner plays a retired sheriff who lives on a nice ranch with his wife, played by Diane Lane. And we need to give some plot details, of course, Doug, because it's hard to explain otherwise. And most of the plot details, some of these are given away as well in the online version. So they have a son, and he's killed very early in the film in an accident with a horse, okay? And he and his wife, Lorna, have a little boy, which is, of course, the grandson of Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. And eventually, Lorna marries a local guy named Donnie Weeboy, who you can kind of tell Kevin and Diane aren't wild about. And very suddenly, they move away to an unknown place in western North Dakota. And Diane Lane really is the driving force of the film, don't you think, Doug? She's the one that really has concern about their grandkid. She doesn't trust Donnie Weeboy. And she kind of convinces Costner, who, again, has really in later years kind of played this stoic Midwestern sheriff rancher guy, and he just slips into those roles so easily. As he's kind of past middle age, Costner is really good in this role. And they go on a search to try to find their grandson, and what they encounter is pretty strange. The film kind of takes some strange turns, but it really picks up, I think, the pace once they go hunting for the little boy. Leslie Manville shows up, a British actress, really chewing the scenery. That was one of the parts I wasn't wild about. I think she's kind of over the top with her acting. She kind of plays a Ma Barker type who kind of lords it over this wee boy clan of sons and nephews, and they're strange people. And clearly Costner and Diane Lane are in over their heads trying to get their grandson back. But I thought Manville almost acted, as a friend of mine who's a reviewer said, she almost acts like she's in a different movie than everybody else. That was a little distracting, I thought. But I do think this is a better film than I maybe thought it was going to be, because there's kind of a slow burn suspense. It's a fairly leisurely paced film, but I think that slow burn suspense, Doug, leads us to these cunningly judged moments of violence, which when they come are quite shocking. And ultimately, we know that Costner, the man of few words, is going to take matters into his own hands. But overall, I like this. And I think for a film in theaters right now, if you want to see some good scenery shot up in Alberta and want to kind of get some Bismarck references, another good character I thought was the Native American boy that they happen onto that really kind of helps them out as well. And he's kind of escaped from a boarding school in Bismarck. And we know that past as well, Doug, with the whole Indian boarding schools and trying to, you know, take the Indian out of Native Americans. So that's a nice little subplot, I thought, as well. Good scenery, shot up in Alberta, you know, kind of looks like Montana. Overall, I liked it. Liked it better than I thought I would.
Well, I thought they really captured that time. I mean, it looks very evocative, early 60s. They've got a Red Owl store in one of the scenes. And I have to say, the chemistry between Costner and Lane is wonderful. I hope they do lots more movies. I know they were Superman's mom and dad in one of those movies, but they are just wonderful together. And I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought it's, well, as you started out saying, it's better than I was expecting. So I would recommend it. Let Him Go. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I started watching it when I got the screener, and I was going to maybe stop and take a break and do something, and I kind of kept watching it on my phone. I really couldn't stop watching it. And as I said, I think the director, Thomas Bazooka, really paces the film well, Doug. He doesn't pace it I've talked to you about this with films. Sometimes movies are edited to within an inch of their lives, and they move too quickly and it's too fast. He lets the scenes kind of breathe. There's a lot of flashbacks, things like that. You know, Costner really plays this unwilling participant in trying to find the grandson. He is nervous about what they're going to find, and they might be in over their heads. And Diane Lane keeps kind of pushing him. So I like the strong female character, and I agree with you. I think Lane and Costner play off each other very well. Just thought Leslie Manville, maybe a little over the top, kind of a scenery-chewing performance as the Ma Barker type.
Well, let's talk about a passing this week. Sean Connery, there's a legend in film.
Well, movie stars like that do not pass on every day, as you know, Doug. He was a superstar. He was the James Bond. To many people, he is still James Bond. Daniel Craig commented over the weekend that Connery defined an era and a style as Bond. But it wasn't just Bond. He became, you know, he reached out, he branched out, got the Oscar for The Untouchables. I almost think he was better when he stopped wearing the toupee, don't you, Doug? Just kind of let that
yes.
bald go, you know.
And
women seemed to like him better as he got older. You know, he had all the demographics covered as a movie star. And what I mean by that, men wanted to be like him and women loved him too. And when you've got that, you're a superstar, instantly recognizable all over the world. Died in his sleep at his home in the Bahamas. But he just seems like an old-time movie star to me. And, you know, people just stopped and took notice, I'm told, when he walked into a room. He just kind of had that presence, that chemistry. You know, even when he was doing Hunt for Red October as a Russian, using a Scottish accent, you kind of just forgive it because he's such a big star. What kind of accent was that in Russia? You know, but
Northern Russia, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what part of Russia he was from, the Scotland part, but a great star. Great actor, just has that charismatic presence on screen that just you can't teach that. You either have it or you don't, and he had it.
Well, he was 90 years old, and we were told that he was dealing with dementia in his mm-hmm. later time. So that in itself is a sorry thing to have to think about. But my word, the accolades that came his way to remember him and the people who loved working with him, legendary. He's one of those people that will linger in film for quite a long time, I think.
And John Cleese weighed in on his death because he worked with him on Time Bandits and said he really enjoyed working with Connery and people were just in awe of him even at that time. So Terry Gilliam, you know, talked about him. So a real divergent group of people kind of weighed in on Sean Connery's passing.
So we bid fond farewell to the James Bond and the wonderful Sean Connery.
007.
Yes. We check in with Matt Olean every week. Take care, Matt.
Yep, you too.